Hi, this is Niles McClure for the new show, Why Life Is, right here on Friday nights at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Now on BBS Radio, Why Life Is answers a vast number of questions and explores the demystifying of metaphysics and spirituality. Just a fraction of what we will cover are such subjects as detailed explanations of the afterlife, what the meaning of life is, and what intelligent life is like in other worlds. This is a show many of you have been waiting for to hear and participate in as well. Why Life Is has been on the air broadcasting for nearly 3 years and is now available on BBS Radio in prime time.
This is Why Life Is, and I'm your host, Niles McFlower. Tonight we have another show dealing with metaphysics and spirituality, and in that theme, I thought it would be interesting to talk about how someone can find and or develop a romantic spiritual relationship with someone else. I know that this sounds like, oh, gee, is this guy now, you know, going to be getting Oprah on or something? We're going to talk... No, not exactly, because tonight, although I wouldn't mind having Oprah on, I think that she's done some spiritual subjects in the past, but this is more about really what it means as well as how it can be constructed, we'll say, in a person's life to develop a close, intimate, romantic relationship with another person. Through the development of spirituality in their life. And I want to define the difference between what I'm talking about and maybe what some other people may be referring to. When I'm talking about spirituality, I am not specifically referring to any kind of religion, although certainly a person can be extremely spiritual within any religion. But the point is that spirituality in itself, as I define it, is the expression of God within our own thoughts and actions. This is what spirituality is. So if we're going to develop a relationship with someone else that is both romantic and intimate, then it requires a commonality of God's thought and activity within their own minds and interactions, and possibly among themselves and with others at the same time, at various different points in their daily lives. So I think that that's really a critical element when we, or at least when I'm defining the difference between what I call a spiritual relationship and what maybe other people may say. I've noticed a lot of people call spiritual relationships relationships that mean something to them in terms of how they feel in being involved in the relationship with someone else. That's not what I'm talking about. Feelings are important. They're part of the astral system. Some people call it the emotional system. But it's not the basis of the relationship. It's really an outcome of co-creating with another person through the mind of their own creator and carrying out activities that help that creator to grow more. You see, it isn't so much about getting the feeling, as a feeling is like more or less a guidepost that this is what, in fact, a person is doing, or if they're doing it together, that people, two people, are doing together. Also, I think it's important for me to define that it's very important that, at least in my definition of spiritual relationships that are romantic and intimate, that they be monogamous. Now you might say, well, where did that come from? I like having 20 people, you know. Well, this is the thought I have about it. And you can disagree, by the way. And I want to give you a phone number. If you agree, you disagree, you have any thoughts or questions, just give me a call at 877-876-5227. That's it, if you're in the U.S. If you happen to be in Canada, you can still get through at 888 815-975-6. Love to hear from you during the show, yes. And if you're going to call a little earlier than later, because later kind of that's when we get the crunch and it's hard to get through the show and have people calling in. So, I mean, any time is okay, but I prefer earlier rather than later. So think about it. Okay, so let me go on now. Why would it be that I'm saying that, in my opinion now, and of course whatever I say is always my opinion, you know, of course I own what I say, in my opinion, that it requires monogamy if the relationship is not only romantic, but it is intimate, and that means that there is a close sexual relationship between the people. How come that is so critical? Well, that has to do with the nature of what sexual intimacy is about. Sexual intimacy directs energy between two people back and forth that they share, but they express the energy, if it's done in a loving way, in the need ways, the correct ways, the needs of their partner, and not in their own needs. This is a very interesting part of what I call spiritual sexuality and spiritual love, is that when a person or people are being intimate, they are at that time exchanging energy, but as the other person needs it, and at their, I call it their phase and their frequency, but you can call it anything you want. And it really has to do with the way the energy is being manifested from one body to the other person's body. And you got more than one body in each person, so it's kind of complicated, and I won't go into it in today's show. But it's very important to understand this, that in order for it to be loving, it has to help the other person to experience their own sexuality in a more, we'll say, intense way, while at the same time, it needs to also allow them to experience their sex, in other words, their sexual identity, in a way which reinforces that as well, because it has to do with a thing called self, and it has to make them a stronger self, one that also combines and joins with their soul. This is technically a little complicated, and I don't want to get too far into it because, again, that's not the nature of today's show, and we have done shows on that in the past. But I think the important part about this is, if there is not monogamy, which is where we came into this part of the show, if there's not monogamy, then the problem becomes that every time one makes love with someone, they are attuning their giving specifically to that other person. And it is a fairly complicated and difficult process, which doesn't happen immediately when people buy it, usually. And it takes some time to develop getting good at it. Yes. Now, if you start doing this with different people, because people's bodies are uniquely different from each other, then what happens is the ability to be able to give this energy in a manner that is complementary and helpful to the other person is diminished significantly. So if you get 10 sexual partners and you say, well, I love them all, the problem is that you can't love any of them because each one is stealing from the others the ability to truly give what is needed to complete the process of improving their identity and helping them to have a greater intensity of response and to feel true love. That's the problem. So all you're doing is really kind of stealing from this person and that person and that person because you happen to like to have a lot of different sexual partners, but it has literally nothing to do with love. It actually has to do with the opposite. It reduces the love. Now, could you have some love for more than one sexual partner? I'll admit that that's possible. But you're certainly not going to have anywhere near the levels that you would have in a monogamous relationship. I hope that makes sense to you. If it doesn't, give me a call and you can tell me why. But I think the important thing here is to realize that monogamy is the method, in my opinion, of developing a spiritual relationship that is intimate, romantic and intimate with another person. It's extremely important, therefore, to consider it as a necessity. Even if you don't agree with me right now, I'd like you to think about it. If you would like to know a lot more about this, you can get my textbook, Life's Hidden Meaning, and you can read about all of the intricacies of why I say what I'm saying and the science behind it and all that stuff. But, you know, I think if you apply it in your own life and if you test it out, that would be a better way. Because this is one of these things that you really got to prove it to yourself to know it. And I think there's a good portion of our listeners who may already understand this. I really do. But some people don't. I mean, people who tell me that that is one of the things they really don't like about what I teach. I say, you know, I like everything else, but, you know, that part I don't like because I like to have a lot of different people that I'm intimate with, and I don't know what the problem is. It's like I get to love more people, not less. Well, they get to be sexual with more people. Love is a different issue, and that's where we have to have some definitions, maybe. Okay, so now we can move on. And we've covered that part of what I would consider to be spirituality. Now, what other things can we do to help us to find, if we haven't already found, a person that we want to be that person that we're going to be have a spiritual intimate relationship with that is truly romantic? I'm not talking about something where you just shake hands and say, well, once in a while we'll go to bed. No, I'm talking about the whole thing, the whole ballgame. Now, does this mean that you have to be legally married? No, it doesn't mean that. I believe that legal marriage is a good thing because it encourages people to get through the rough areas sometimes if they aren't very disciplined. Yeah, most people aren't, by the way. Most people are not spiritually disciplined, much less disciplined generally in their life. And because of a lack of discipline, what happens is when people aren't legally married, they oftentimes just, you know, say, oh, well, we're not legally married, so I'll go find somebody else. And the problem with that is that there are always issues in people and between people in their personalities and lower self that conflict. Always. It's just part of the nature of being a different person and trying to become one with someone else. Oh, yeah, we're going to get to that part. But foreshadowing it right now, and without going into the definition of that, if you're trying to be one with someone, and it turns out that you, at the same time, are actually an individual, which we are, then there are almost constant irritations and issues that come up between people. Now, if you're not spiritually disciplined, what happens is that the patience and tolerance that people have for each other sometimes wears thin. And without there being a legal commitment that somewhat stands in the way to just saying, well, I'll see you later, goodbye, the people can then be polymonogamous and just go from one relationship to another without really getting to the point where they develop a spiritual relationship. And that's not a good thing. So marriage has sort of has a good factor involved, even when there aren't children involved. Now, if you get into the question of rearing children and being parents, marriage has a whole different societal factor that is concerned about the structure of the raising of children, et cetera, which is to try to get them to have good parents and good parenting, and that usually means that the people stay together. So here it has another connotation, different from what I'm talking about tonight, because it isn't just about the relationship between the people, it's about rearing children, et cetera. In spiritual relationships, marriage becomes less necessary. But what is more important is that the people are even greater in commitment to being together than those who are married. And I mean significantly greater, not to a small extent. Why is that the case? Well, because both of them are considering that their life is to be part of the growth of God, and meaning to the protection and development of higher levels of life and greater consciousness in themselves and others that are human, and all to protect and develop all life. Now, if that's really where they're coming from, and that being the, we'll say, the foundation of their existence, then they have a much higher threshold and tolerance for things going awry between their personalities and their lower self, among many, a multitude of issues that may transpire. So the good news about this is that there actually is a, we'll say, silver lining to people who are in a spiritual relationship. Whether they choose to get married or not, their relationship is likely to survive much more severe issues, which they may face, and they are able to stay together regardless of what may seemingly appear to be devastating problems that cause many, we'll say, legal marriages to fall apart. This is because they have reached a point in their life where, to them, they are able to make sacrifices because they live for the greater good of all. So, and they are able to love at a much higher level, seeing each other as souls rather than as people or persons. Once you see someone as a soul, you can forgive them for their personal problems much more easily because you see the grander part of who they really are. That's a wonderful thing to think about. Okay, well, listen, we're going to be back in a couple of minutes. And when we come back, I'm going to tell you a bunch more about my thoughts about this subject. And if you want to call in, please do. And I'll be waiting to hear from you.
Since childhood, I've had questions about my life and life in general that I couldn't find adequate answers to. Questions like, why am I here? Why are others here? Does the universe have a purpose? And how does that relate to my life? More recently, I've been wondering what happens when we die, especially the reasons why. I'm more of a doubter than a believer in many things, and answers that include the whys allow me to think and figure out the truth for myself. I've been reading a book, Life's Hidden Meaning. This one book contains more answers, including the whys, than all other sources I've read or heard. It's amazing to me that every one of my questions has been thoroughly answered. More importantly, I have found that all of these answers so far have checked out to be true. I hope this message helps some of you in your quest for better understanding. The name of this wonderful book is, again, Life's Hidden Meaning by metaphysician Niles McFlower. Some bookstores sell it. I got my copy directly from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com. Life's Hidden Meaning may enlighten your mind and bring some peace and joy to your heart.
The following statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. BioRepel is a dietary supplement. It is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Colds and flu are a problem that many want answers and alternatives for. Let me tell you about BioRepel, a certified all-organic herbal and nutraceutical formula designed to support relief from symptoms of cold and flu. With so much concern about potential bird flu outbreaks, there may be some help. BioRepel's patents include proven immune enhancement, adding significant preventative and other immune system benefits. In effectiveness trials, most experienced relief from symptoms in 2 to 3 days. Think about how long your last flu symptoms lasted. Incredible and amazing are the words most often used to describe the effects of BioRepel. Using 136 of the highest grade ingredients in a new science gives BioRepel its effectiveness. Relief could be just 1 to 3 days away. To learn more or to purchase BioRepel, call Alternative Health Approaches at 800-777-7850. That's 800-777-7850. Or visit BioRepel, that's BioRepel.org.
We're back. This is Why Life Is, and I'm your host, Niles McFlower. Tonight we're talking about how can we develop and help to improve a romantic, intimate, spiritual relationship with another person. And Hopefully, the first segment of the show, I gave you some of my, we'll call it, definitive ideas. Now, I'd like to go into the areas where I think I can be more, we'll say, specific. When people are trying to find someone, now, that, not all of you, I assume, who are listening are actually looking for someone because you're maybe listening to the show with someone that you are in a relationship with. But hang on, because we're going to talk about how to make those improve and get better. But trying to find someone who is spiritual that you're going to be, quote-unquote, connected to, compatible with, some people like to say soulmates, all that business, is actually not as hard as it may seem. Now, many people tell me that they think that that is a bunch of hogwash, that they've been going here and they've been going there and they went online and on the internet and they sent in letters and pictures and done everything you could imagine and they have yet to find that special person. Well, you know, the interesting thing is spiritual means that you're creating more of God's or the Creator's thought and actions in your own life. That's what spiritual is about. Yeah. Spiritual is the thought of God. And actions completes it in this realm. So the way you meet someone is by doing what I just said. And the more you do it and the better you do it, the more you're going to meet someone who is capable of doing it at or around the level of response that you can do it at. It's amazing that it actually works just that way. Now, you might say, but what about all these other things I tried? How come they didn't work? Well, because the focus was on trying to find a person instead of finding a mission of, we'll say, co-creation together. If you're working on the creative part of being a part of God and working with creating more of that through the actions that you take, you don't have to do anything more because you will find other people who are doing the same. And part of God is inclusive. In other words, love, which is also an inclusive element, and consciousness, which is part of love, it's all part of the second part of God's own thought. All of those things bring you into close proximity with someone who is around the same level of response that a person is at. Now, what is response? Response means the ability or responsibility of being able to carry through the thoughts that one has of the Creator and how to create more of it with one's actions. So you can do the two together. You find, we find, people who are of similar capabilities whenever we take it to the completion of activity. It is always true because it's the way the universe was designed and it's how inclusiveness actually expresses itself through unity and through oneness. So we're becoming more one with our Creator while we're becoming more creative and individual while we're at the same time bringing to ourselves people who are doing the same thing around our level of capability. It is a person who is of similar capability that you or anyone will have the most commonality in and the most probability in becoming close and eventually romantic and eventually intimate with, and it's all based upon spiritual, we'll say, science. Yeah, it's all based upon that, and it's incredible that it can take place without having to go and join eHarmony or one of these other things. You don't have to do any of that stuff. I'm not telling you not to do those things, but I'm saying that those things aren't the way to necessarily develop a spiritual relationship because they don't have within them the component that is so critical of co-creating with one's Creator. they are literally personal and relatively selfish. Now, you may not like that, and I know there's many people who have joined these different things. But the point is that it is selfish because the focus is on finding someone rather than on co-creating and creating more of the creator. You see, the motive becomes a very Achilles heel in the process. You have wrong motive, then you end up with people who are not truly functioning spiritually, even though they think that. And they call what they do spiritual, even though they may belong to some spiritual organization, even mutually. But if they aren't doing the co-creation thing, then that doesn't work. It doesn't cause them to inclusively bring to themselves someone of similar capability, which is the person or people, I won't say it's always going to be one person to begin with, that they're going to be most attracted to and interested in. It's really fascinating, isn't it? And it's amazingly simple. And this is the thing that I don't know if I am, you know, like a Pollyanna and just saying it's simple when it's not, but it seems so simple to me that I would recommend to all those who are listening to me, who have questions about this and who are free to try to find someone, that you go ahead and experiment with this because I think you're going to find that it's true. Again, though, I must be emphatic that your motive has to be not to find someone, but to co-create with someone and all people that are seeking to do so at or around your capability, because that is the magic. If you do it for the wrong motive, even if you're saying, well, I'm saying or doing everything this guy says, but you'll find it won't work because then, unfortunately, there's a too great of a level of selfishness connected to it. Now, does that mean that you can't be cognizant? You can't be aware that this may lead to you eventually finding someone? No, that's fine. That isn't wrong motive. Because awareness of that fact just means you listen to the show, right? It isn't a bad thing. The problem with it is that it can't be the primary motive for doing it. It could be down the line, like you wouldn't mind if it happened, and that's okay. But the primary motive you're doing, whatever you're doing, is to co-create with your creator and to try to bring more goodness in the world in general. If that's what you're here doing, and that's great, and then you can have like, well, I wouldn't mind, it would be great if I could just meet someone, then it's okay. Then it's fine. Then you're all right. All right? Now, for those of you who have been sitting carefully and listening, but you said, well, hey, I don't need to find anybody because I found them. They're right here beside me, or I'm going to tell them about the show and listen to it, whatever, but I don't need to find anybody. That's okay. What about increasing and developing a more spiritual relationship together? What can be done once you have found someone? Now, this is the part that actually requires a little more complicated things, and it is a bit more difficult than just finding someone, which I imagine the people who haven't found someone are probably saying, oh, yeah, that's what he's saying. No, really, I'm going to explain it, because I think once I do, you'll see that it really is more complicated to truly grow together and to develop a relationship once it has established itself as a spiritual one. And the complication is this. It has to do with being human and having an individual nature while becoming one with one other person in ways that you will not become one with any other person, and that includes sexuality. You see, once we reach that level, there is a conflict in the personality and lower self of fear, of loss of self. And this conflict is different than just what I talked about earlier, where people aren't getting along sometimes, and they're having a problem, or they leave, or whatever. This has to do really with overcoming the nature of what it means to be human, to become one's own soul, and to help the other person to do the same. Now, the secret to overcoming this perplexing problem is to more and more see the other person, not yourself, but the other person as a soul. This is the only solution I have ever found that truly solves the problem. And it may not work for everybody. I'm not even claiming that. It should, but I'm not claiming it does. I'm just suggesting you try this out. And you might say, okay, well then how, if you're saying that, what do you mean by seeing the other person as a soul? You see the other person as being a great being, regardless of what they say or do, good or bad, whatever, who came here, as we all did, to try to create more of its creator, the soul's creator. And it does so through the expression of a human being. Once that has become entrenched in the consciousness of a person, they begin to do a lot of things differently in the way they relate. Now, what are those things that they do differently? Well, the first thing is that they seldom argue or fight, but rather they seek to be humble and to listen to the other person and to assume that any disagreement they are wrong about first rather than being right. This humility is really the sign of a person merging as a soul. And it's critical towards the development and growth of a spiritual relationship, especially once it's going. It's extremely important that we understand, I think, what the whole basis of being a soul is. I'm going to go a bit into that right now. I think I've got enough time, about 5 minutes here, to cover that subject. And then, I think, when we come back, I can even go into the more creative side of this whole thing. But for right now, let's cover what it means to be a soul in operation. Souls in operation, first of all, see that the other person, and not just one person, but all people, are an addition to their ability to be creative and to create goodness. They appreciate others, therefore, and have gratitude to others, even when the others are flubbing up or doing something screwball or crazy, because they recognize that the efforts of all is the only way that the great one can truly succeed in its growth, and we can all share in that. So they see a piece of God in each of those that they see as souls, and they see the most of God in that person that they are intimately involved with. And the reason for this is this, that there is no closer way, no way you can get closer, and I think that's the correct English way of saying it, there's no way you can get closer with anyone than through an intimate, romantic, monogamous, forever maybe, relationship with someone. That's the way you can get closest to someone. And if you choose to be closest in that way, that is your method of doing it, that also means that you can see them more as a soul than you could with anyone else, because you are co-creating together as souls, which means that instead of developing more of yourself, that's called the lower self, you're developing more of everybody else's self, which is the higher self. It's a totally different perspective. And from that perspective, everything becomes gigantic and bigger. The small things, which are irritants, fall away, because the big things that you're doing together are so huge and so important and so magnanimous and so good that the relationship takes on the importance of this hugeness, and the other person in the eyes of their intimate other has this hugeness to them. They see them in this huge way, because that's what it means to see others as souls, and especially if the other is an intimate partner. That is the amazing part of how this process works. And there is nothing that will be more demonstrative of the concept of what it means to see another person as a soul than when both of them are intimate partners and monogamous partners as well. Remember that. Now, you can't go out and have 10 relationships so that you're going to compound this effect because it does the opposite. I can't get away with that. But so souls really are an amazing factor. And seeing your partner as a soul is the most important element to leading to this great development of a huge higher self that is shared between the two people. Shared between the two people. The only other way to share the higher self is in spiritual groups where people are doing spiritual discipline together and creating spiritual goodness in the world. And then, not to the same level, but then there is a sharing of the higher self in those circumstances as well. So those are the other ways that could be done, but still, the thing that takes precedent is the close, romantic, intimate relationship. So if you can develop that, that's even better, although there is no requirement of that. If you're working in a spiritual group and you don't have that going, don't think like, gee, I'm not doing anything great. No, you're doing something fantastic. You're doing something amazing. And you should definitely see everybody in that group as a soul because it all fits together in the same way. Okay, so we're going to be back in about another couple of minutes. And when we come back, I'll give you some more creative ideas and thoughts about this whole area of thought.
What book are you reading?
It's a novel, kind of, about romance, love, and spiritual life in general.
Kind of a novel? What do you mean?
Well, it's based on some real-life experiences and even real characters. Some of their experiences are fascinating and remarkable. I can't put this book down.
How come the title is Afterlife Love?
That's part of the fascination. This book describes the afterlife in intricate detail and even explains why things are the way they're explained.
But how can anyone write about or know that?
Some of the characters travel out of body to some places that people who've already died also go to. I'm finding it completely believable because it all makes sense and fits into a bigger picture for me.
Hon, what happens to these people?
You can read it for yourself when I'm done if you want.
Better yet, I'll get my own copy so we can discuss it while we read. Let me see. I'll write down the title. It's Afterlife Love by Niles McFlower. M-A-C-F-L-O-U-E-R.
Afterlife Love is available in some bookstores and from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com or 480-966-3132. That's 480-966-3132.
We are back. This is Why Life Is, and I'm your host, Niles McFlower. Today we're talking about how to find and create a spiritual intimate relationship with someone else and what that all means. Now, this final segment, I want to talk about what the creative elements are that go beyond just the issues that I've talked about. Because I've really been dealing with more or less basics. But what happens when this thing really gets going? Let's say that everything I said is true, and I'm not absolutely declaring it has to be, but I'm saying that there's a good chance, but I still admit that I can be wrong at times, certainly. And let's say it is true. And let's say that those out there who are listening to the sound of my voice have decided that, yeah, I'm going to give this a whirl. Let's try it out. Or I've already been doing it for a while, but now that you've mentioned a couple things, I'll try that and see if it works out. If you take this to its ultimate end, this is an interesting point. What is the ultimate end of developing a spiritual relationship that is intimate, where does it lead? Well, of course, I have to talk about the inner planes and life after death from here and talking about those far-out subjects because it goes into that. It really becomes an integral part of a person's existence beyond the physical life. Most marriages are founded upon till death do us part. And death usually means death of the physical body. Now, not all religions follow that, by the way, but a good deal of them do. Not all of them. And it's important to understand that a spiritual relationship can go much longer and deeper. And this is true whether it's a spiritual relationship based upon a group discipline and group functioning and group service, or if it's a spiritual relationship that includes that and also has an intimacy to it, then what happens is this. People continue to function as souls living in other dimensions of time and space than the one that we are so accustomed to right here. And this goes on into the astral world and into the lower mental world. And so people stay together. The idea that, oh, gee, we're never going to see each other again, this is not true. As a matter of fact, if you're really closely, intimately involved, there's a good chance within a year you'll both die together. Now, I'm not suggesting that people say, oh, well, get me my gun, I got to blow my head off because my spouse is dying or died, so it's time to join them. No, that is not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying that as a condition of the soul decides ultimately about death. Even though people can take a gun and try to shoot themselves in the head, believe it or not, it's my thought that they'll miss or the bullet will bounce around and come back out or whatever, and they won't die necessarily. They might be screwed up pretty bad, though. But the point is that death is really ultimately a soul choice unless you're following a very dark path. So it is the soul that can choose. And if people are living as souls, they actually make the choice while they are living to go on together. And that choice is actually exercised through the soul. It's amazing, but it actually is exercised. And when it is exercised, the people just naturally, for an infinite number of ways and reasons, leave in fairly, we'll say, close time. It doesn't have to be exactly at the same time, but fairly close. Now, what does that mean then if you go on and live in other dimensions of time and space, and how can that then change the relationship of a couple who are spiritual? Well, in other dimensions of time and space, two things happen. First thing is that you become more conscious and more capable, actually. The senses are delicate, but actually very, very sensitive. And the second thing that happens is that it is easier to become inclusive and to become co-creative. Easier. So if people are already succeeding at it while they're physically alive, then they're going to really get good at it when they're astrally alive, and they're going to get tremendously good at it when they're lower mentally alive. So the process continues on and on. Now, here's a very interesting point. You've heard the word soulmate. Well, to me, this is the real definition of a soulmate, not what you may find online or whatever they say. But this is what this whole process that I just described can actually continue beyond the individual incarnate of the soul's lifetime. After life in the lower mental world, where a person is giving up their personality and gradually becoming their soul in thought and action, there's the possibility of re-entering the state of being one soul while their mate does the same thing, and together, as part of their plan, they incarnate literally to be together, and it's actually planned out ahead of time. Now, you might say, well, how are they going to remember? Well, interestingly, they might, because if 60% of the time in the three different parts of time and space that they lived the last life in, they were creating virtue. And that's possible if they had a spiritual life together, because it enhances the creation of virtue tremendously. Then they actually will have memory of their prior life. And they will remember the commitments and the choices that they made as souls in the higher mental world. And they will inevitably find each other, and they will have created lifetime, incarnates, I should say, with a physical lifetime, that will almost guarantee that they will find each other when they believe they want to, at the appropriate age they think it'll work on. It could be at 5 years older, it could be at 25, or it could be 35, any age, really, but more likely younger than older, because they would want the time, most time they could have, to be of most service in this most difficult of all dimensions of time and space in which someone can serve in. This is a remarkable outcome, because in each lifetime, the two people are beginning to become one. Now, you might say, well, why is that? Aren't they still individuals, et cetera, and aren't they, didn't you say humans have the individual nature, and souls are even individuals, so why would they begin to become one? Well, because unlike what they're doing with most other people, they actually are sharing their future. They're sharing the development of who they are, and that who they are is a higher self, not a lower self. And as you become more one as a higher self, you actually join together. You even start sharing senses. And I'm not kidding about this. You start sharing senses. That means you can feel what your partner feels, and vice versa. And this can happen on a regular and consistent basis. What's it like to share senses? Well, it's like being a member of the next kingdom. That's right. It's like being what people call masters of the angel's wisdom or this or that. I don't care what word you want to call it. It's like being a member of the next kingdom, because that's what they do. They share senses, starting with the Buddhic part of their existence. And this sharing of sense is a wondrous change from being human. It allows the people who share senses to be able to increase the level of awareness that they have, which tremendously increases their ability to be conscious and to be co-creative with God, etc. So a huge change happens in people who are quote-unquote soulmates, by my definition now, and who are spiritually connected together. These people are actually becoming one. Now, some of you might say, well, this is going kind of fast for me. What else have you written? Have you got anything that you can tell us? Yeah, I wrote a book that was ostensibly a novel, but it was based upon real people and some of the things that I knew about them. And what it is an explanation of how this whole process takes place that I'm describing to you, because these people in the novel called Afterlife Love, they are actually on a course from prior lifetimes and in this past lifetime that they're in, that they are developing a shared sense, a set of senses in their different bodies together. And this is really, it has to do with part of the connection of what the whole story is about. So it's an amazing thing that they are a demonstrative example of what can happen if people are co-serving together. And especially if they're co-serving together and they happen to be intimate partners, it's even accelerated. Anyone who co-serves together, this can take place with, by the way. So this is an amazing thing. And when I talk about sharing senses, there are physical senses. We all know what those are. Well, most people know what they are. And then there's astral senses, which are feelings. Many people call them feelings. And then there's mental senses, which are thoughts. And in this particular case, so we're talking about the people in Afterlife Love, they actually are able to share thoughts, especially when they make love, which is an amazing thing. They actually know how the other person feels and they know what the other person is thinking, although that comes later. First they get how they learn how the other person is feeling, and eventually they can sense how the other person is thinking. And that is a truly remarkable ability, because it gives them a great leg up on their ability to serve together. Their ability to be creative is compounded. It's exponentially compounded by this sharing of senses, which is so amazing for members of Beyond the Human Kingdom can do this. So it's a truly amazing thing. And so you get to enjoy being a bit of a superhuman being, beyond human, by developing a soul-based, intimate relationship that is spiritually founded, and that has developed itself for a while. It could be a while, could be one lifetime, two, three, and beyond. That's why it's so amazing, is that there is no end to this. It can continue on and on. Now, some people have asked me, okay, well, if there's no end, then where can it go to? Well, eventually, the people are going to accelerate their development. They will leave the human kingdom faster, and they'll leave together. Now, what does that mean? Wow, it means big things, because each of them will continue to grow at an accelerated rate for potentially all of time. It could mean the savings of millions of years of development, in maybe an infinite number of years. I know I can't even give you a number, because they have found this other great love in their life. It's not too different for people who are functioning in a spiritual group either, by the way. Although this is a little bit even more intense than that. But in any case, I think the important thing to realize about this is that there's great gifts out there for those who seek and find a spiritual love that it has intimacy to it and that they commit themselves to. I hope I've consoled you on this subject. If I haven't, I'm actually out of time to do much more. But nonetheless, it's worth thinking about, and that's what this program is about, is to get people to think. I can do much more than that on the radio. If you want to co-serve with us, you can always give me a call or email or whatever at thoughts@whylifeis.com, and I'll be glad to entertain what you'd like to do as well. So if you want to do more than just think, let me know about it. Let us know about it. On Sunday, this Sunday, I'm going to be on 1170 AM radio in Boston, Norfolk, Providence, Rhode Island, and many other places in the East Coast. If you are around there and want to listen in, please do. Where We Go, When We Die, and Why, Part 1, from 1 to 2 p.m. Pacific and from 4 to 5 Eastern, or any of the times in between that. You can figure it out, of course. Tune in. And if you can't, if you're not in that area, you can still listen to it on WDISAM.com radio. So you can listen at those times on that particular station. And also, let's see, on Monday, January 7th, a member of the spiritual group I'm a member of, her name is Mimi, she's going to be teaching Overcoming Fear and talking about it over at Glendale Borders from 7 p.m. to 8:15. Come by and see Mimi and say hello to her and say hello to me through her. And I won't probably be there myself, but if I can drop in, that's always a possibility, you know, always. And I hope this has made a difference for all those who have been listening, because it's made a difference for me just to share it with you. And I, until next week, want you to know that I love all of you out there, and I hope that your feelings are pretty much in the same boat. And until next week, this has been Niles McLowell for Why Life Is.
Hi, this is Niles McClure for the new show, Why Life Is, right here on Friday nights at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Now on BBS Radio, Why Life Is answers a vast number of questions and explores the demystifying of metaphysics and spirituality. Just a fraction of what we will cover are such subjects as detailed explanations of the afterlife, what the meaning of life is, and what intelligent life is like in other worlds. This is a show many of you have been waiting for to hear and participate in as well. Why Life Is has been on the air broadcasting for nearly 3 years and is now available on BBS Radio in prime time on Friday nights at 7 p.m.
BBS, you know your Roddy best.